anonymous 16th century bourrée played by Jordi Savall's Hesperian 21 as the encore to their concert at last year's Fonfroide Festival in southwest France. And it brings to an end today's early music show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. Well, in next Saturday's programme, Catherine Bott explores some of the characteristics and sounds of the more curious and unusual instruments of the Baroque.
For 2013 on Radio 3, the story behind one of opera's greatest composers, with performances of every one of his surviving operas.
On BBC Radio 3, Verdi 200.
Starting with the Sunday feature, Verdi as the Voice of Italy.
In the Italian heart, we imagine Va Pensiero like the most representative music for our Italian spirit. You don't need an intellectual approach to enjoy the Verdi music. You just listen.
Tonight at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, it's time now for the last in our series of highlights from the 2012 prom season. It's presented by Martin Handley.
Hello and welcome to the penultimate night of the 2012 season of the BBC Proms. As you can hear, the Royal Albert Hall is buzzing at the prospect of a second evening in the company of the magnificent combination of the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra and Bernard Haitink. In the second half of tonight's concert, they perform a real orchestral showpiece for huge forces, Richard Strauss's celebration both of the mountains of Bavaria and of life, his Alpine Symphony, whose vast canvas needs a conductor with real vision and control like Bernard Haitink. This prom season, we've been celebrating London in its year as host of the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Tonight, we reach the final instalment of that series with Haydn's Final Symphony, number 104, the London, which he wrote specifically for his adoring audience in this city. Bernard Haitink said to me once that while he's conducting Haydn, he can believe all's right with the world. I asked him whether that was still true in 2012 with the Vienna Phil.
They play Haydn so beautifully. You get the feeling that they really have a line with him. And you don't have to have any gimmicks or things, just play the piece and enjoy it. This is his last of the whole series. And one is again amazed about the vitality and the cheerfulness. And as a human being, he also must have had his problems and his crisis and God knows what. But to write such, not only cheerful, it goes further. It's just wonderful.
Haydn had spent the first 30 years of his career isolated at the Esterházy court when, at the age of almost 60, suddenly found himself a free agent, was invited to be the star composer-conductor for a London concert series. His world changed overnight. The 4 years of his English adventure had a rejuvenating effect on him, set up his Indian summer of creativity. His Final Symphony, far from the end of that, but a wonderfully concise crowning achievement for his groundbreaking work as a symphonic composer. Onto the podium comes Bernard Haitink, joining the Vienna Philharmonic on stage here in the Albert Hall to perform Haydn's Symphony No. 104, The London.
Thank you. Thank you.
Haydn ending his symphonic career by using a Croatian folk tune to exhilarating effect. The audience at the first performance of Haydn's Symphony No. 104, the London, at the King's Theatre in Haymarket, lapped it up. Haydn wrote, "The whole company was thoroughly pleased, and so was I." And so clearly is the capacity audience here in the Albert Hall with that performance given by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Bernard Haitink. Quite a small band, the lights shining through the textures that they play. Very vigorous Bernard Haitink, determined the performance should really live and spring. Talking to the English principal trombonist Ian Bousfield, he says the Vienna Philharmonic principally sees itself as a chamber orchestra, and it's always a shock when they come back to play in this hall. They have to get used not just to the size of the hall, but the size of the stage, and find each other on it, make contact and pull together. Great chamber music wind playing in that performance. But they're used to playing in all shapes and sizes when they're playing in the pit of the Vienna State Opera, which they do for 300 opera performances a year. That's the training ground, so says Ian Bousfield, and indeed Bernard Haitink. Also teaches them to deal with balance. After all, a conductor in the opera pit has too much to do with singers on the stage. He can't always balance the orchestra as well. The audience here in the Albert Hall determined to have Bernard Haitink back another time. The time he was working in England, Haydn had bought an understated house in Vienna by this stage, in the then suburbs, with a vegetable and flower garden. He then proceeded to add a second story. A Viennese-English connection. Bernard Haitink leaving his orchestra. Well, a jam-packed Royal Albert Hall for the second part of this evening's penultimate night of the 2012 BBC Proms season. The one work on the programme is the last of Richard Strauss's 10 orchestral tone poems, his Alpine Symphony. It requires the largest orchestra of them all, including huge wind and brass sections, not forgetting two harps, celesta, organ, cowbells, wind and thunder machines, and offstage brass as well. And the musical charities you may have heard, it's already up to just about £80,000. It's always a wonderful collection each year. Well, it was about this time of year, I suppose, in 1878, that the 14-year-old Strauss went on a trip into the Bavarian Alps. He wrote in his diary, "Depart at 2 a.m. with handcart. 5-hour ascent as a result of losing our way. 12-hour march in all. Towards the end, soaked to the skin with rain and storm. Then an unplanned stop for the night in a farmhouse." 30 years later, he remembered his mountain experience and began to write sketches for his Alpine Symphony. On one hand, it portrays in a single huge arch of music the climbing of a mountain, starting and ending at night. Strauss tells us that we pass through a forest, by a waterfall, up to alpine pastures. We get lost, and there are dangerous moments on a glacier before we arrive triumphantly on the summit. But then comes a passage marked Vision, the symphony's still centre, a quiet celebration tinged with ambiguity and questioning. Before the descent begins, mists rise in the calm before a storm, and we finally reach safety in a golden sunset, and night descends. Beyond that scenario, though, Strauss is writing a hymn to the oneness of humanity and nature. He said his symphony contained moral liberation through work, worship of eternal and glorious nature. I asked Bernard Haitink how he discovered the Alpine Symphony.
In my younger conducting years, especially being in Amsterdam, Strauss was not so well accepted because of the past, the Nazi time, etc., etc. And the Alpine was especially in a bad corner, because at that time, in the 50s, 60s, I think most critics didn't like the piece at all. And I came to it by accident and had to perform it several times. And of course, it has its terrible noisy moments, but it has also wonderful moments. And you have to admit that Strauss was such a sorcerer, such an incredible inventive composer.
Does the Albert Hall and the Proms audience, does it bring something to these vast orchestral tableaux of Bruckner and Strauss?
Every time one comes there, it's an amazing thing. In the morning, it is gloomy and too big, and you think, oh God, how can I do it? But then in the evening, when they are there, they, the Promers, is unique. I don't know what it is, the sort of magic all of a sudden.
Bernard Haitink, well, the Promers are here. And I think, I don't know how many fit into the arena, but maybe 1,000? I don't know, perhaps it's in the high hundreds. Anyway, there's an awful lot of people packed here in the Royal Albert Hall tonight for the last night but one of this 2012 season, which seems to have had really great audiences throughout. And not only a packed hall, but a packed platform now. Quite a lot of the 150 members of the Vienna Philharmonic on stage now. Quite a young-looking orchestra now. Ian Bousfield, the principal trombonist who's leaving the orchestra next week, said that in the 12 years he's been in the band, 90 to 100 new members, so almost two-thirds new. But he says the style hasn't changed. It still has its hallmark sound, which he says is about communication, the bond with the audience. Technically, he says, well, things might not always be quite where they should be, but he says musically, that's always number one for them. And I think music is the most important thing to the man who's trying to find his way onto the platform. It's such a full platform. He got stuck for a moment there. Bernard Haitink bringing the Vienna Philharmonic to its collective feet to perform Richard Strauss's Alpine Symphony.
Thank you.
Richard Strauss's Alpine Symphony, performed at the 2012 Proms by the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra and Bernard Haitink. The presenter was Martin Handley. And it ends our series of highlights from the 2012 Prom season here on BBC Radio 3.
In these days of download charts and online views, it's easy to overlook a much more tangible way to measure the reach of a new piece of music. Take the recording I'm featuring on the choir today, for example. It's yet to hit the top 10 lists on iTunes or Amazon, but out in the real world, among the amateur singers of the UK and beyond, Zimbe has been nothing less than a choral sensation. In 4 years, it's clocked up an incredible 100 separate performances, with adults and children all raving about its uplifting fusion of jazz and African songs. So do join me at 5 o'clock, when I'll be asking Zimbe's composer, Alexander Lestrange, to share the secrets of his success. And I'll be playing some of those choruses that have been electrifying audiences and performers across 4 continents. That's today in the choir with me, Alla Jones.
And that's at 6:30. Well, coming up next this afternoon is Choral Evensong. That's 25 minutes away, and we have time to hear the second of Brahms's clarinet sonatas. The clarinetist is Michael Collins, the pianist Mikhail Pletnyov.
Thank you.
Brahms's second clarinet sonata, played by Michael Collins with Mikhail Pletnyov at the piano. And if, like me, you're sad that that's over, I think we can treat ourselves to a little bonus, the third movement of the first sonata. BBC Radio 3, it's 4 o'clock and time on this Epiphany Sunday for Choral Evensong, which is a recording of a service which took place last Wednesday in the chapel of St Peter's College, Oxford, and was sung by the Rodolphus Choir. The canticles are by the 16th century Spanish priest-composer Tomás Luis de Victoria, the Magnificat to his setting on the first tone and the Nunc Dimittis on the third tone, and the anthem by Victoria's English contemporary John Shepherd is based on words from Psalm 72, Regis Tarsis et Insulae. The kings of Tarsis and the isle offer their gifts. The kings of Arabia and Sheba bring gifts to the Lord God. The service opens now with an introit by William Byrd, Domine Salva Nos, O Lord, save us.